more than anything in our rules or regulations would determine what involvement a state employee would have through any state agency.
Yeah, it really does not belong in this discussion since it is not part of this bill either. Any other questions from either of these two gentlemen, Stan or Rick? Thank you very much. Tom Donica from Association of Oregon Industries. Got the chair nice and warm for you, Tom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tom Donica for Associated Oregon Industries. You took the bills in the order of 2238 first and 2237. Let me make this singular comment about 2238, that is our position that the bill, with the deletions as suggested by DEQ, is a perfectly fine piece of legislation. It's nice to be able to appear before a legislative committee and say we agree with it. It does exactly what it purports to do. It gives the agency only that authority which is required by EPA for the state of Oregon to continue its program to achieve full compliance and full operational ability under the program, under the Federal Resource Conservation Recovery Act, which is required. I think the testimony by the agency is factual. We would support the legislation. Obviously, if the agency is being required by EPA to perhaps make some more amendments to the existing act, then it should be held. But we would be perfectly willing to suggest to you that it be passed out today, other than their request that you hold it for a short period of time. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to respond.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tom, I still don't understand the examples. You know, we've got the Columbia River and all this, but how would you feel about a complete ban of all air or water of toxic substances for disposal purposes?
If this legislature wants to ban it, you could do it, and that would also meet EPA requirements.
Well, the question is, would this adversely affect industry?
I doubt. Well, first of all, the Resource Conservation Recovery Act is designed to handle the disposal and transportation and treatment of hazardous wastes. Wherever they are, wherever they're found, our law would have been it would have been in the 77 Act if anybody had suggested that there was a problem. It was missed, wasn't included. It's been an oversight up until this point in time. We're now getting down to the very later stages of dealing with EPA toward full compliance with the Oregon program, with the federal program. This thing came up. We said, fine, you know, no problem with it. If the state of Oregon doesn't get them, EPA will get them. And so they're going to be covered. So that isn't the question. They're going to be covered. The question is whether or not the state of Oregon is going to have covered it and taken jurisdiction, and whether or not our program can be a completely acceptable federally acceptable program. That's what we're fighting over, if there's a fight going on here. And we think it's important that the state of Oregon have full authority to run the program, because EPA doesn't want it, and they're unfortunately, they're putting thumb screws on us. I guess that's what you'd say. And unfortunately, we have to tell you, either if you don't want the whole program, you can toss it all out, but other than that, you're going to have to accept a little bit of blackmail.
Your follow-up, Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Well, that's the whole point. I can't conceive that the EPA wouldn't feel that we were in ultimate compliance if we banned the whole thing. And very simply, in a one-line bill, we got it done.
Well, it is possible that some materials will move. I would not be worried about water, but I think that there are materials that may well move by water. Whether they are now or not, I can conceive that they may move on the Willamette and the Columbia at some point in time. It's just covering the bet, just in case. We think you ought to do what the agency is asking, and the commission is asking that you do.
Any other questions of Tom Donahoe?
Chairman Hooley?
Representative Priestley.
The idea of dilution is that you're an expert in this, Tom. Is dilution now not allowed?
Representative Priestley, if I may, Madam Chair.
Yes.
You heard Mr. Ryder. Dilution basically is what you're faced with by people who are trying to violate the law. This is not unlike both the air and water quality law. The air quality law and regulations will not allow any excess air to be induced into an airstream for purposes of dilution of that airstream, so that when you measure it, you aren't certain, or you can't tell precisely what was actually being emitted. Water quality law and rules do the same thing. You may not add additional water to the stream for purposes of dilution. The material does not go away. Now, in some instances, we would agree that there probably is reason for it. Nonetheless, it is consistent in this sense with what they've done in air and water quality. We don't think it's necessary. We think it's fully covered, and the addition of the word dilution at this late date will give you, I think, some uncertainty, not the certainty that we want out of this act. We now know what we've got to deal with. We know what the act says. We know what we can do. We know what we can't do. Add a word like dilution, and I'm not certain we know where we are. This is essentially a new field for a lot of people. There aren't, and I wanted to talk about this on 2237, there are not a lot of people involved in this activity in the state of Oregon. I think only about 175 firms, and that's one of the reasons we have a small problem that I want to discuss with you on 2237. But I think we would suggest, Representative Priestley, that changes in definition, unless they have a substantial purpose clearly understood, should be avoided at this point in time.
Well, I guess, Madam Chair, I am suspicious of long answers. Either dilution is or it is not now prohibited as a means of dealing with a waste. I guess you said it was and went on from there, that it is presently prohibited, huh?
I would say that it is unless it falls within neutralization. But for purposes of reducing my waste stream, to take it from a position of being apparently immeasurably being hazardous to non-hazardous, as Mr. Ryder suggested, based upon the five classifications, can lead you into hazardous materials, can lead you into some strange and wonderful things, where what you've done isn't what you thought you'd done at all, and you've actually may have created something even more dangerous.
I guess I think it is. I think it would be great to add dilution there. It's my feeling that dilution is probably the most frequently used treatment, in quotes, of toxic waste, whether it's relating to the Ringelmann standard.
Where are you talking about?
It's on line...
Line 26.
26.
It says neutralization. I think I'd like to have dilution there prohibited as well. Apparently it's now prohibited, but... I still think it's going on, and I don't see why that would hurt to add dilution after neutralization.
Well, if you actually read the language, it means any method, technique, activity, or process, including but not limited to neutralization. I suspect if you really got down to it and dilution was actually the most effective way to do it, they can allow it now. And they don't need to have it said, just for fun.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, it would make it, dilution would then be a treatment.
Any other questions, Tom?
Yes.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Have you taken testimony on 2237 as yet?
No, we're going to do that.
Thank you.
Have the authority to, it comes under this thing as to what happens.
Do we have anybody else that would like to testify on 2238?
That means if it's part of treatment.
Okay. Carol, I need to have the name.
I mean, if you included it there, what would it mean?
I guess down here in line 37.
Austin Collins. I think Austin is here just to get some clarification on some points.
Madam Chairman, yes, and I have an opinion that would speak to Representative Anderson's, I suppose, problem with it.
Austin, would you identify yourself for the record, please?
Yes, I'm Austin Collins.
All right.
I'm a self-funded lobbyist here. This matter has been of great interest to me for longer than 2 years. And Representative Anderson, would you repeat your question that you had for my so I won't get off on a tangent?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Anderson.
I think the main question I said was, why don't we just ban both methods of transportation if it's not being used? Why create a problem when we don't have?
Thank you. I was correct, and I do understand what your problem. I would like to state, Madam Chairman, that already there is quite an extensive or quite an important program in the process of transporting a no longer used reactor from someplace in Pennsylvania or Virginia or Tennessee around, and I believe it's the lives that it won't go through the canal, so it has to come around South America and then by barge up the Columbia River. Now, I, as a resident of Oregon, I want to have some veto or at least some supervisory capacity on the passage of that up the river. As a little guy that just lives here is all. And Madam Chairman, Representative Priestley's suggestion that we just dilute it. Being an ex-farmer and spending quite a long time in the highway freight transportation and some in the railroad transportation, may I suggest to my friend Wallace Priestley that any time you dilute, you increase the volume. And in that context, then you would be compounding the problem of carrying and disposing of hazardous waste. I know I came up against that and taking care of the effluent from a feedlot one time. It did cause quite a problem, and just because the rain diluted the waste and made it harder to handle. And that's all I have to offer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chairperson, can I just say that Mr. Collins...
Representative Priestley.
Mr. Collins, my concern is that they define what is toxic on the basis of its strength.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears to me that you can dilute it and get it so it isn't that strong, so it's no longer considered toxic, because it's not defined as a treatment to dilute it. So that's what I was concerned. I wanted to include dilution as a treatment so that they'd have control over that process, so you don't end up with something that was toxic, no longer toxic, so they can do what they want to with it. See?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the same wavelength, I think.
Madam Chairman, I hear what you say, but my concept of a toxic waste is something that's really dangerous to a much wider scope than just the human race. And if we attempt to dilute a substance that's really toxic, it's really, really dangerous, then I can see no other thing that would happen except it would compound our problem.
That's true.
And by the sake of taking issue, I think that it's a point that needs to be considered, Madam Chairman.
Thank you very much.
It needs to be in the record.
Anybody else that would like to testify on House Bill 2238? Okay, if not, hearing closed on House Bill 2238. We will now open the hearing on House Bill 2237, and I need a witness registration.
I didn't see that, so.
Okay. House Bill 2237, again, is required by the Department of Environmental Quality, and this is calling for an annual fee, and I believe we have the same two people from DEQ back. Rich Ryder, did I get it right this time? And Stan Bias.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2237 is a fairly straightforward bill that would allow the department to assess an annual fee to the generators and air and water transporters of hazardous waste in the state. Historically, the program dates back to the early 70s, and from a relatively small staff of one or two, whose emphasis was upon planning and developing the initial needs and following that with the rules and regulations to establish a program, the staff grew in subsequent years to a peak in the current fiscal year in the neighborhood of 15 FTE. Only one of those 15 FTE is funded directly by the state. Two are funded by proceeds generated by a license on our Arlington disposal facility. The remainder, approximately 12, are funded solely by funds from the federal government. That creates a problem for us in the current times, considering that the Environmental Protection Agency and the Reagan administration are proposing significant cuts in state grants across the board for environmental management programs to state agencies. We are proposing the establishment of a fee program for the generators and air and water transporters that would diversify the funding base for our hazardous waste program. The intent is through that effort to make up for whatever loss will occur during this biennium as a result of reductions in funding from the Environmental Protection Agency. The other major change in the bill is that currently the fees that we do have authorization for in a license format are established by the department, by the director. Our proposal, since we're expanding that authority, is to change that authorization from the director to the Environmental Quality Commission. We feel that's important in order to broaden the opportunity for public participation and public review of the fee setting process. Again, the intent is through the proceeds of those fees to replace whatever loss in federal revenue that we will experience during the biennium. There is not an intent to expand the program beyond its current levels. As a matter of fact, we feel we can satisfactorily administer the program with a slight reduction in staff, as is suggested in the written testimony that we have offered. I think the emphasis needs to be made that it's broadening our fee authority in an area where currently we have relatively limited authority. Two, it's intended to offset any loss in proceeds coming from the federal government. And three, it broadens the opportunity for involvement on the public's part by having those fees established by the commission as opposed to having the fees established by the department. We will not know the level of the fees. We will not know the timing of the implementation of the program until there is final congressional action taken on the EPA budget, and therefore we know how much money we can expect for our hazardous waste program. We have worked with the individuals, the firms that would be impacted by a fee bill, and have developed some rough ideas as to what those levels might be and the criteria that would be utilized to determine them. But I should emphasize the timing would correspond to knowing the final determination made in Congress. Be glad to respond to any questions.
Representative Bradbury.
It's my understanding that this adds a new fee to generators of hazardous waste as well as the air or water transporters. We don't have any air or water transporters right now, so the issue in terms of Oregon right now is on the generators. How many generators do we have, and I assume they're not paying anything now?
That's correct. In terms of how many we have, Tom referred in his earlier testimony to about 175. That number has expanded through our inspection program. We're now at about 250.
250
companies statewide.
Another question, Madam Chair.
Representative Bradbury.
Could you just give me, I'm sure there's a broad diversity of companies that produce hazardous waste. Can you just give me a kind of a little picture of what we're talking about?
Okay. The principal classes of industry that would be impacted, about 25% of the hazardous waste is generated by the electronics industry in the state of Oregon. And so, you would be talking about companies like Tektronix, Hewlett-Packard, Intel, and smaller companies that may produce products for these larger manufacturers. Another 25% of the hazardous waste is generated by two classes of industries, the electroplaters, the plating industry, and the metal fabricators, people who make various metal products, aluminum screen doors, steel products, copper products. So that leaves about 50%, which are other industry types. You can get into paint manufacturers using flammable solvents, paint manufacturers. In some cases, we still have paints being made with lead or chrome in them for special purpose uses, and those residues, if discarded, would be hazardous. You get unique companies like the rare metals companies, Teledyne Huacheng, Oregon Metallurgical, companies like Precision Cast Parts, which again deal with unique materials. And then the broad group of people that handle and manage pesticides, aerial applicators, people who sell pesticides but also apply it, say, by ground or rent application equipment. And if they have residues left over that they did not spray and intend to discard, those would be covered by our hazardous waste program.
Okay. Another question.
Representative Bradbury.
Who would be paying, who is the generator of a hazardous waste in the case of pesticides?
It's the person who causes the waste to be generated. Now,
that means the farmer who's done using it?
If a farmer applies his own pesticide, it could be the farmer. If the farmer contracts with an aerial applicator, a commercial applicator, then the commercial applicator may be responsible. So it can shift depending on who's the person who actually causes it to be generated.
You say may be responsible? Excuse me. Or is
Representative Drew.
May be responsible or is responsible, using the example of the aerial applicator that you were talking about.
Well, in the case where a farmer contracts with an aerial applicator, a commercial applicator, then the commercial applicator is the person who causes the waste to be generated.
Okay, so that applicator would be responsible,
right.
Is responsible.
I think it bears repeating to this entire committee what Stan said at the very beginning, that this fee would not take place until you understand what the federal budget is, and it would not be to expand anything that you are currently doing, and this would be in lieu of some license money or not. Clarify that point for me.
No. The license money would still remain.
So this would be just to continue your program as is.
That's correct.
And I would like to remind the committee, since this is a fee bill, it would also have to go to Ways and Means.
Madam Chair, one other item. Committee staff as well as Legislative Council have recommended a minor word change in line 14. The sentence actually begins in the latter part of line 13. Owners and operators of these facilities must allow necessary access to the air or water transporter, comma. Recommended change would be to add one word and change transporter to transportation and add the word facility so that it would read allow necessary access to the air or water transportation facility. It's just difficult to grant access to the department to a transporter. We really are talking about a physical item there. Could be a boat, a plane, could be corporate headquarters, and felt that that clarified the intent there of that sentence.
Just in the way of pointing out some technical things, Stan, if you do it there, then when you do it on House Bill 2238, Section 6, or Section 5, is identical for Section 2 of House Bill 2237.
Yes, if Section 5 were to remain in House Bill 2238, the same language change would be necessary.
Okay.
Representative Ann Lewis.
Question I didn't have to begin with, but I do now after Representative Bradbury's questions on who is a generator. It says an annual fee shall be required of every generator, DDD. If it's the farmer who, I mean, if that is including every individual farmer who uses any fungicide or insecticide or whatever he happens to be using, and knowing, of course, that they are expensive, and you're probably going to calculate it pretty closely. But does that mean that somehow there's a every farmer is going to have an additional license to what they have already if they use any of these things and may have 1 gallon of spray or whatever it is left over? Okay. I was comfortable with this.
Okay, it gets back to the issue of, you know, commodity versus waste.
But it becomes a waste if he's got a gallon left over.
And discards it. I mean, you could have a gallon left over and store it because you intend to use it at some future date, you know, when you make another application. So our program, again, only covers materials which are discarded, not used.
And
so we have, at this time, we have no farmers in our system. No one has registered that they, you know, discard, you know,
pesticides.
Well, I doubt if very many of them do because of the expense, but it raised the question, what are you going to assume?
Right, and I think the other thing we have to remember on this bill is that this fee is going to be determined by the commission instead of the department, which is then also open to, you know, the public hearing process where the commission can, I assume, do a sliding scale, eliminate whatever they want to do on that.
Madam Chairman.
Representative Van Leeuwen.
A deeper concern than that, I guess, is there's so many rules and regulations out there and so forth right now for the farmer to meet that he almost doesn't have time to do his farming.
I understand
that.
And
I can bring you in my husband's schedule for this last week if you really want proof.
No, I understand that, and I'm not trying to put that down at all.
Okay.
Madam Chairman.
Representative Troop.
What, just for my own information, what does a typical farmer do with that pesticide residue that's left over, whether it be a gallon or a drum? What would your husband do with that in this situation?
Okay. To answer you, Representative True, what is usually done is nowadays it's calculated so closely that you try to come out exactly on the nose, partly because of the expense of the thing and part of because of having the residue left over. Typically, in our case, we've got containers that if there is some left over, we don't destroy it, we save it and mark it and use it the next time we need that particular thing.
Question to
the
witnesses that this measure or current law or any proposed amendments to current law would preclude hanging on to those residues if they could be applied at the point in time under carefully stored conditions.
I know.
That's correct. Again, the program only applies at the point the decision is made to dispose of rather than to use a material. And our dealings with the farming community to date and with people at OSU who are in the pesticide programs, all the educational material we put out and they put out encourage the temporary storage and the ultimate use of these materials rather than the discard of these materials. I failed to point out earlier that whether we're dealing with pesticides or other industrial materials, we have incorporated into our administrative rules the opportunity for small quantities to be disposed of at local landfills other than going to a chemical waste landfill. So in the area of pesticide products, we do exempt, if you will, quantities under 10 pounds a month. And say if a farmer would have 10 pounds of a pesticide product that they truly could not use and wanted to discard, those could legally be disposed of in a local landfill. They would not be considered a hazardous waste. The farmer would not be considered a hazardous waste generator.
Does that clarify?
Just one clarification. You're talking about
Representative Van Loy.
Excuse me. You're talking about 10 pounds of actual material.
No, 10 pounds of waste. So if it was a spray mixture, it would be 10 pounds of spray mixture.
So it would be a gallon of water.
Approximately, right.
So 8 pounds.
A month.
A month.
A gallon a month. It's not a large exemption, and again, because of the toxicity of pesticide products. But it is there. The other thing, empty containers, assuming they've been rinsed, would not be considered a hazardous waste.
Now that's dilution.
What's dilution?
Rinsing.
Representative Priestley.
That's all. I just did.
Well, the recommended practice is to rinse the container and to use the rinse water as part of the spray mixture.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bradbury.
So if I can just get this clarified in terms of its impact on the agricultural community. Basically, right now with your who you consider hazardous waste generators, you say there are about 250 of them in the state, and at that number there can't be very many farmers in there. In fact, I think you testified that there are none.
There are none.
And